being in a career where you're really, really good at what you do, and then you become a mom, you just go, whoa, okay, I thought I knew everything. It's so humbling. And now here I am again with my new baby, my business.
Welcome back to another episode of All Figured Out. I'm your host, Andrea Barr, and today I've got Mackenzie Forge on the podcast. She is the founder of Forge Magnetic, which is a children's apparel line that is all based on having magnets in the clothes. She talks about this. It is absolutely genius. She is based here in North Vancouver. We are virtually neighbors. We met at a parenthood meetup, and she is just an awesome and very inspiring woman. She has three kids. At one point in her parenting journey, she had three children under the age of two. So yes, if you're doing that math, she does indeed have twins. She had an epic career in commercial real estate on the brokerage side, which she talks about in this episode. She talks about what it was like transitioning back and forth to work with kids, what pivots happened within her career, her life as a varsity athlete, and then a tragedy that happened when she was in her 20s, and what she is up to these days, and what the pivot out of the commercial real estate world looked like. So there's so much. We kind of go all over the place. I think there's so much in Mackenzie's story that will resonate with a lot of you out there in that whole, how do you find balance between your career ambitions, and wanting to be a great parent and be with your kids, be with your partner. So I hope you enjoyed today's episode, and listen in for the end of the episode where Mackenzie has a very special offer, a discount code for All Figured Out listeners. Enjoy. You're listening to the All Figured Out podcast. I'm your host, Andrea Barr. As a career coach for parents, a mom, an entrepreneur, and someone who spent 10 plus years in the corporate world, I still don't have it all figured out. And maybe you don't either. In this podcast, I'll share tools and strategies that I use with my clients. And in the many areas where I don't have things figured out, I'll be bringing you some amazing guest experts to help us fill in the gaps. So tune in each week as we explore how to make career and life decisions that truly work for you, your family, and your big goals. Let's make moves. Mackenzie Forge, thank you so much for joining me on the All Figured Out podcast today. It's such a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you so much, Andrea. I felt so honored when you reached out to me for the first time. And then we spoke and I said, are you sure you still want me here? And man, thank you. I'm really excited.
Yay. Yeah. You were like, let's chat first and then you can decide. I was like, oh, honey, I already decided you're in for this, whether you like it or not. So thank you. And what I want to say for everybody listening, how we know each other, because it's kind of cool and perhaps inspiring somebody else to, like, you know, get out in their community. Mackenzie and I met at a parenthood meetup at our local coffee shop. And we kind of just met through this amazing network and community that is, you know, just around the corner from both of our houses. And I wouldn't say that I'm somebody that often gravitates towards quote unquote mom groups or parenting groups or those types of things. But yeah, it's just cool. It's very cool to just make friends in your neighborhood and just feel like you have this quote unquote community that everybody talks about that kind of sometimes feels other.
Absolutely. What's nice to just find people who are going through similar experiences in their lives right now and trying to, as you would say, figure it out.
Totally. Okay. So let's talk about your figuring out journey. You have such a cool story from, and I'm not going to give the spoiler alert, but the high level, going from being a varsity athlete, growing up, having some really hard, you know, personal experiences mixed in there, having a beautiful family, including, spoiler alert, twins. So having three kids, having an unbelievable career, an awesome marriage, and starting your own business. I mean, that's one heck of an arc. Where do you want to start? Where does your story begin?
That's a big question. Well, thank you. My goodness, when you say it all out, it makes me feel old too, because that's a lot. We've done a lot in my life.
No, proud. You should be proud.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Where do I begin? Well, I mean, yes, I was a varsity athlete, and I think that really has helped shape who I am today in terms of my competitiveness and my drive and teamwork too, my ability to get along with other people. I love people. I really am a people person. And maybe that's why the mom group thing was attracting to me. I wanted to get out and meet other people, and I didn't like being alone at home with my kids as much as I love my kids. I think a lot of people are in the same boat. So I went to school out east at Dalhousie, and I played for the Tigers, played volleyball there. It was awesome. But I stopped playing volleyball about halfway through. So after my second year, and I really struggled. I actually went into depression because I'd worked my whole life to be an athlete, and that's what everybody knew me as. And now I'm not an athlete. So who am I? Right. And I was able to get some help, and I switched my major into business, and I still don't really know what I was going to do, but felt like at least I can devote some time to that. And I joined our business society and became president and got super involved, used my time that I was using on the court now, socially, and just getting involved with the university. It's great. So it was a hard time, but I really surrounded myself with some awesome people, and I was able to get some help. And a few years later, I graduated and came back west to Vancouver, which is where I was born and raised. And I thought, I think I want to get into real estate. So the big question was, do I want to sell houses or do I want to sell commercial property? So I started chatting with some people, and I figured, I think commercial is more me. It's more Monday to Friday. I can have weekends off, going into the office, the corporate world. So I eventually got a gig working in industrial sales and leasing. So selling warehouses, leasing warehouses, industrial zoned land, working for a big company in downtown Vancouver. And I got my license, and I was essentially kind of a glorified licensed assistant working for a big shop broker. And I learned so much, not just in real estate, but also to be an EA, an executive assistant. So that was great. And then 2014 hit, and it was a big year. I switched companies, and I lost my mom. My mom had been battling cancer, and I'm her only. We were really close. It was not a surprise. We knew it was coming, but it doesn't make it any easier. So 2014, she passed away. And within a month, I left my company and went to work with a new company with a young group of guys. So it was four of us, three guys and myself. And I saw it as a really good opportunity. I feel like I needed a change in my life at that point. I also actually bought a condo within a month of that as well. So it was a lot happening. And then I met my now husband. So 2014 was a year of super big highs and super big lows.
Wow. What, doesn't it always work that way?
It's weird when I think about it. That was a big year.
And I wonder, like, you know, your mom's guiding hand towards your husband. I wonder, you never know.
Absolutely. I'm totally a firm believer of that. I really do. You know, you may not see it when you're in the thick of those hard times, but I think that everything that comes at you in life, there's a, you can learn from it.
Totally.
Something good may come from it. Maybe not instantaneously, but.
Yeah. And you know, the person telling you like, oh, everything, you know, your mom passes away. Everything happens for a reason. You want to punch them in the face in that moment. But then maybe later on, you're like, you might think it, don't say it to the person in the moment, but you know, then with hindsight, 10 years later, you're like, oh wow, I can see the beauty in all this.
Absolutely. Crap. Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I started my career, and I loved it. And when you and I chatted earlier, one of the first questions you asked me is, if you were to sit down and chat with someone, what's the one thing you really love to talk about? It took me a while to think about it. And I went, it's real estate.
Like, oh, I love Mackenzie, it was a beat. You responded so fast. You said real estate.
But then I said, is that okay? Because like I left it.
Yes. What did you love about it?
I loved that every day was different. Such a challenge. It was a good kind of stress for the most part. There was so much collaboration with my team, with other teams, with clients. It was awesome. I mean, I genuinely liked waking up on Monday morning.
Wow.
I loved it. I loved it. It was also a very different time in my life, more before kids. I did it before I met my husband. I did it while we were together. We had a condo downtown and lived a block from both of our offices, and that was great. I could work 10, 12, 13-hour days, and I was happy doing that.
Oh my goodness.
I loved seeing deals go from an idea all the way to whether it was a transaction, to seeing that transaction completed and clients move in, to an idea of a development, finding the land, securing the land, going through permitting, finding a contractor, building it, and then leasing or selling it. It was awesome to
Okay,
be
so
part of that. I loved it.
you were part of all that. I always ask granular questions about these jobs or industries because a lot of people listening might be in a bit of a pivot. Who knows if they're going to be pivoting into real estate, brokerage. I'm not even commercial real estate, that's the word. When you say it was a super collaborative environment, I find a lot of people are missing that. And they might come to me and say, "Oh, I just feel like I'm in this silo or work in isolation, and I really would love to work at a company where there's a lot of collaboration and that sort of thing." Talk me through, what did that actually look like? So I know you were commission-based and you were truly working on a team on the same projects together, meeting all the time. What did that look like?
So, yes, commission-based for sure. But there are some industries that are commission-based where you really aren't collaborating with other people, where it's you really try and get as many clients as you can and you can't share them, right? So in our industry, it's commercial real estate, but it's brokerage. So we broker deals. We will work on behalf of a buyer or a seller or a landlord or a tenant. And so let's say, for example, I have a client in Vancouver, who's looking for a property in Surrey, but I don't know the Surrey market very well. So I have that relationship with that client. I mean, what we would do is we wouldn't go and try and find that property necessarily in Surrey. We would go and find somebody in our office who specializes in Surrey. It's a bad example because we specialize in Surrey, but you know what I mean? We want to bring in the people who are right for that job. Or maybe, we would do weekly meetings and talk about what was going on in the market that we knew about. And you might hear a piece of market news that you didn't know about from someone else that's going to be really helpful for your client. So we'd split commissions all the time, do what we had to do to get the job done and make our clients happy. Because if your clients are happy, they're going to return to you and you get to keep doing business with them. So it was pretty easy to be collaborative in the company that I worked for as well. I worked with an awesome group of people.
That's so cool. That is so cool. Okay, so fast forward a bit. And so you're chugging along in this awesome career. I have no doubt you're killing it. You're doing really well. You're climbing that, quote unquote ladder, et cetera. What was the pivot point for you where things changed in your career?
Well, so the pivot point was really when I had kids. But before that, I decided that I wanted to get involved in an organization called CREW, which stands for Commercial Real Estate Women. A CREW is really about helping advance women in the industry, which is very male-dominated industry, especially on the brokerage side and construction. So it was a wonderful organization. A lot of mentorship and education opportunities, events for networking, you name it. It was great. So I decided to apply and I got onto the board of directors for CREW and I spent 2 years on it. And I decided to step down after 2 years because I got pregnant. And I'd be taking a maternity leave and I just would not be able to devote my time. And I wanted to take a full maternity leave. So everyone was super supportive. I had every intention of coming back after maternity leave and also coming back to Crew. It was an amazing organization. That's really where the shift happened.
Ain't that always the way? These little babies, we love them, but they throw a wrench in things, don't they? So you had your firstborn, your daughter, and so she comes into the world. And first of all, what was that shift like for you, for your experience? What was that shift like from your experience?
Well, first of all, Kennedy, my daughter, was born in February 2020. So 1 month later, we were in complete lockdown, which I know many moms can relate to. But yeah, firstborn baby and doing it without really any help, even though we've got, you know, lots of people here. It was, you know, masking up and being super careful about who was allowed to hold her. And it was just, there's so many unknowns, right? And then all the unknowns of being a first time parent. It was a great combo.
Whoa.
Very isolating. Very yes. isolating.
Yes. It's just you and the news.
Right. Yeah. And I had said to my team before I went on maternity leave, I said, I think I'm going to give this 6 months, maybe nine, and then I'll be back. And one of them who just had a child said, oh yeah, right. You're going to be taking 12 months for sure. So at 9 months, I kept in touch with them, but at 9 months I said, yeah, I'm not ready. Let's do 11 months. So
good for you.
So it was a great first year. There were challenges for sure. I had a very colicky baby with reflux, which all of my children ended up being. But it was, yeah, it was hard, but it was good.
And yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so at 11 months, you were deciding to, or you made that decision. You're like, hey, I feel ready. You're heading back. What was that transition like, making that decision? Because we're so fortunate in Canada that we have the decision of, you know, the timing of it, finances kind of aside. So you made that decision. And then what was that transition like back to work?
Yeah. Well, aren't we so lucky to have that? I know too many people who live in the States that are putting their kids in daycare at, you know, 2-3 months old. So that transition, I had chatted with my team and we decided, they suggested that I could potentially go back to work part-time, and by part-time Monday through Thursday. So having Fridays off, and my pay and my commission would be adjusted accordingly, which was fine. But there were a lot of changes that I had to make too, and boundaries that I had to set, which was really interesting. So we hired a nanny because we couldn't get Kennedy into daycare. And it worked better for the times that I had to be at work. And I started going back 4 days a week, and I had to be really strict and set those boundaries about how long I was going to be in the office. So before, I would go in the office at 6:30, maybe 7, and I'd be staying till at least 6 o'clock. I can't do that anymore. So I would leave at 7:30, be there by 8 o'clock for an 8 o'clock meeting every day. And as soon as that clock hit 5, I had to be out of there to spend, an hour and a half with my kid after. So it was really hard. I had a lot of parent guilt. You know, I felt really guilty about not spending more time with Kennedy. But then when I was with her, I felt guilty about work, about not giving my job and my work and my team as much of my time as I otherwise would be. Mm-hmm. So it just felt like I was losing no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And it was a big struggle. And even though I technically had those Fridays off, I was always on my phone, emailing, calling, answering questions, getting stuff done that was time sensitive, because everything in brokerage is time sensitive. And it just didn't feel great.
Yeah, that's a really good point that you bring up around certain jobs. Having boundaries is super important, and it's often, you know, we are our own worst enemy when it comes to the boundaries we have to set and hold the boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's a bit of a gray area that you bring up, which is there are some industries that are actually time sensitive. So if you're like, okay, I'm not responding on this Friday, and 3 days go by, but a deal, say, I imagine, could expire within those 3 days, like, that's not a thing, right? So I do think we need to talk about that more. I think we need to talk about boundaries, but understanding what boundaries can be held and what boundaries need to be adjusted because of other factors of life. Does that kind of, like, I don't know, does that resonate with you? I feel like I'm always in this, like, weird, people are like, hold the boundaries. And I'm like, I mean, yes. And there's another piece to it that we don't talk about.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think it depends on the industry too, and the job.
Yeah.
And are your employers or your clients going to be understanding of that?
Mm-hmm.
I had to say, look, I'm not going to be responding to emails and phone calls between 5 and 7:30. And when my daughter goes down to bed, I'll get back on my computer and respond.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of moms who I've talked to have gone back to their pre-baby careers, mm-hmm. or even new jobs, have said they've done the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Still working us to the bone, right? We put our kids to bed. You want to sit down and put your feet up. Right, you sit down, put your feet up with your phone, and you get back to work.
Yeah. So I know it's no surprise, given we've alluded to this, but you did leave the industry. You left a job that you absolutely loved, people that you loved, that you still keep in touch with today. How did you make that decision? You and your husband and all the factors, like, I imagine there was a lot to it. You know, walk me through that decision-making process.
Yeah, absolutely. So I went back with when my daughter was 11 months old. And unfortunately, because I was only going back about 80% of the time, and I wasn't able to give my team and my job as much extra time as I wanted to, and my team wanted to, there were some changes made to my kind of benefits and compensation, and just, you know. It's funny being the person who that happened to. I go, that wasn't fair. That's not fair. But in my industry, I kind of get it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know where that the decision to make those changes is coming from. I get it, but it's also not fair.
Yeah.
And you and I could go into a whole other podcast about that.
Yes.
But so that was my time back. It was not off to a good start with that. And then also having the guilt of not being with Kennedy, the guilt of not giving my job as much of me as I wanted to. And my brain was in so, I mean, you know, there's baby brain, there's pregnancy brain, there's all that. And I was making mistakes. I was letting balls drop, and it was, it's not a good place for me. But I also knew that I wanted to have more kids, and I kind of wanted to have them a couple years apart. So with my daughter being about one, I figured, well, let's start trying. And to our surprise, we got pregnant really fast. Luckily, thank the dear Lord, with two. We got pregnant with twins. Like, oh boy.
Oh. hello.
So, well, it's funny because this was our response when we were at the ultrasound. We just started laughing.
No, you did not.
What?
Was the no. tech like, I don't know if you're about to laugh or cry here.
Well, the tech actually originally told us that I had three bubbles, not one. And then she moves the little wand around and she goes, actually, sorry, this is just a water bubble. You only have two. Congrats, you're having twins.
So you almost had triplets.
Oh my goodness. Wow, triple the love. Wow, I feel like I had triplets sometimes. So we had three under two for 4 months. So and it was crazy. That meant that, and I called my team as soon as we found out, because that also means that I'm going to deliver early. I'm going to go off work earlier. And my team went together for a long time, and they were you know, some of the first people I wanted to tell. So I called my team and I told them. And typically you would go off work at just before 9 months, but I had to go off work at 30 weeks, 40 weeks. So I was going to be spending only another 4.5 months or so with them. So we needed to get planning.
Whoa, right.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was a big shock for everybody. I was like, let's plan this. I'll be gone for another year and then I'll be back. So I was of the mindset that I was going to go back to work. And so I had my boys, everyone was healthy. It was a good delivery. We were very lucky. It was, I would say the first 18 months was a blur. It was extremely hard, extremely challenging. My husband would often say, we're surviving, not thriving. You just take it one day at a time. I have an incredibly supportive husband and some amazing family and friends, and we did it. But coming close to that 12-month mark, I started thinking, well, what are we going to do? Am I going to go back? I can't get these boys into daycare. To have a nanny look after three children is extremely expensive. And we started weighing all the, you know, the benefits and of me staying home with them, at least for a few years. And we made the decision. And when I called my team, they weren't surprised.
Probably would have been more
they were
surprised
super
in the
supportive.
Reverse.
I think so. I think so. And, you know, I love real estate, love my career that I had, but it was the right decision.
It was for a time. Like, that was its own chapter. That was its own season. And did you feel like it was stepping into a new season?
Yeah, definitely. Especially because I had a plan, because I couldn't just stay home with my kids. I needed to do something else.
Okay, segue. Here we go. Mama entrepreneur, here she goes. Tell the story.
So I started my own business. And
yeah.
I've always wanted to be my own boss. So my business is called Forge Magnetic Clothing. And it all started from a problem that I needed a solution for. So all three of my kids had reflux, which meant after they're drinking their milk, they throw up basically, or they spit up a lot, like a lot. I was doing a load of towels and hand towels because burp cloths just did not work every day.
Oh my gosh.
As I had two that were in, well, Kennedy was in drool bibs and these boys were reflux. So it was wild. Anyways, if any of you, any of the listeners have had babies or have babies that wear bibs, majority of them have snaps, and to hold your baby in one arm and try and get those snaps off is really frustrating.
Oh my gosh.
Or
we
if
were
you've
in
got
the, yes, we were in the car yesterday. Brody's bib was soaked. He's teething.
Yeah.
Or he's just such a big drooly guy. And I'm trying to get it off. So I'm in the front seat. I'm like reaching behind, trying to get it off him. He starts screaming because I'm basically choking him with the stupid, because the Forge bibs were in the wash. Because he's such a drooly guy, I need to get a whole new set of them. So that's another, but I do have and love my Forge bibs. But I'm using the one with the stupid snap, of course, in that situation. And I'm like yanking and reefing. It's the worst. These poor little people.
I know. I know. And that's a great example. Also, if your baby's fallen asleep and you want to take that bib off and you don't want to wake them up, imagine putting the baby down and then you have to lift their head up and try and take it off. And it's just, you know?
Nope.
So, yeah, I had an idea, but I didn't know how to sew, really. I have a sewing machine, but I can't sew. I'm a business marketing mind. So I went to my friend, Kaya Dory, who owns Novel Supply. And if you're from North Van, you've probably seen her too, because they sell them at United Strangers. They're awesome.
Beautiful.
And I said, I have an idea. What do I do? What do I do next? So she was able to introduce me to a local manufacturer. And I spent almost a year, 10 months building prototypes and product development, trying to make the perfect bib with magnets, a magnetic close, but also one that was absorbent on the front, but it was moisture wicking and would not soak through on the back. And it was also done with sustainable fibers. So 9 prototypes, 10 months, a lot of time, nap time. And after the kids went to bed,
Yeah,
we
talk
can up
about
early.
when was this happening? Yeah. Holy
It's
smokes.
whenever I have a minute.
Yes. And they are, I can attest, they're so incredibly soft. They are, oh my gosh, they're just, the absorbency on them is wild.
Thank
Like
you.
you don't, and they don't, it feels like it takes it away from their cheeks, so they're not getting that drooly rash. And on the other side, it's like nice and cozy, and the magnet is so strong.
But
So
not too
strong.
strong.
No, but not like dangerous strong. And you can still do it with one hand, but it's not like this flimsy little thing that you're like, oh great, this is gonna just, the baby's gonna pull it off. Like Brody's never been able to pull it off. He likes to like chew on it or whatever. They're amazing. They're so good.
Oh, thank you. I love hearing that, honestly. And it's so cool to now have a business and a product, well, now more than one product that I'm actually so proud of. I think they're pretty awesome.
They're so
Luckily,
awesome.
one of my 2-year-old twins still drools like crazy, probably because he has a soother. And so we get to use them all the time. And I know they're great. It's so exciting. You work so hard, and I could have, after 3 prototypes, could have gone, okay, this is it. I went, no, I can make it better. And I'm open to making it even better. So I love hearing from people what works, what doesn't work. I had a lot of people say, it's thick. Can you make a thinner one? And we're launching a thinner one in the spring. So I'm super excited about that.
Genius. Absolutely genius. And what a good use of and really cool mix of all of your experiences and skills. Like even going back to like the competition, the competitive side of you as a varsity athlete, going into such a competitive and collaborative and very business oriented career that you had, negotiating, working on deals, understanding urgency, understanding customer relationships, client relationships. Like there's so much to this product where if someone says, oh cool, and I know you would understand what I'm saying, this like, oh, another baby brand. But it's not. It is, and it's not just another person creating another baby brand. It's like the right person creating the right solution to a problem. Like you have all the background and experience to be a really successful business owner. And you created such a niche product within a sea of sameness as well. Like this is a very different type of product line. Like there's so much to it. Like that what people see on Instagram, for instance, is like the tip of the iceberg, and then they get to know you and understand where you're coming from. And it's like, oh, that's why this is so good. Like that's where this comes from.
Thank you. Gosh, you're bumping my tires.
As
Thank you. Very
they
humbling.
should.
Like, it's so nice of you to say all of that. I really, really appreciate that. I think that I was just, okay, here we go, taking a negative and a positive out of the negative. All three of my kids had reflux. It was awful, but I got an idea. And I mean, I don't know how many episodes of Shark Tanks and Dragons Den I have watched trying to go, oh, that's a good idea. I should have thought of that. I should have thought of that one. And I'm pretty sure a lot of people do that.
Or like really, they made it on Shark Tank. I have better ideas. There's that too, right? Like there's some products that you're like, what? But they're just on there for like the comedy or whatever side of it. Okay, I have a, oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, this for me, I started this as a hobby because I needed something to do to keep my mind off of wheels on the bus and CoComelon and going to the same playground every day. So it started as that, but the people that I have met, the things that I have learned, like it has been, becoming a mom was so humbling. And I know every other mom will agree. When you go from being in a career where you're really, really good at what you do, and then you become a mom, you just go, whoa, okay, I thought I knew everything. So humbling. And now here I am again with my new baby, my business. And I may have some expertise from my other experiences, but I am learning so much and I'm meeting incredible people. And if this business blows up, awesome. But if what I get from this business is feeling fulfilled and some amazing relationships, then I'm happy.
That's, and that I think that a consumer can tell when that's the case, like when the person isn't in it just for the money. I believe that you should also be valued for what you do and what you're putting out into the world. And it's amazing to know that it's coming from a place of love. Like you love the business, you love the product, you love helping other people with their drooly ass babies and keeping everyone dry, which is incredible. Okay, here's another question that just came to mind. If you didn't have twins, if in that ultrasound it was just one baby, do you think that you would have gone back?
That's such a tough question, Andrea.
Because I'm just saying, I'm thinking this because it's like, is this another situation where the universe has kind of guided you in a direction? Like if it wasn't twins and you had gone back, you would have never started Forge. You would have never joined this, you know, entrepreneurial community that you love. I'm like, isn't that
I think it's very possible that I would have gone back for many reasons. So I would have worked an extra 2 and a bit months. And getting two kids into daycare, so my older and one, would be a lot easier than getting three. It's a lot cheaper to have a nanny for two kids instead of three. You could do even a nanny share with one of them. I don't see why I wouldn't have.
Whoa. Absolutely wild.
That's crazy to think about, though. Like, it would be interesting to think about what my life would have been like.
But
everything happens for a reason. And oh my goodness, my twins are just hilarious. Like, the first year and a half was so, so hard. It is twin moms, you'll get through it. You got it. But
they're so freaking cute.
Oh,
they're these like little tanks.
They are tanks. To watch their bond is so special. Like, it's really so sweet.
Yes. And they're identical twins, right?
They're identical twins. Yeah.
I don't assume, like, they look identical. I don't think I could tell them apart, but I'm like, I never know. They could just look really similar.
They're identical.
Mackenzie, what's on the horizon for you coming up? What are the next little, like, you've kind of got your feet under you. You've figured out the mom of three thing, or you're continuing, I'm sure, always in the process of figuring it out. What's on the horizon for you with the business and your career and your relationship with your husband? Like, what's next? What does 2024 look like for you?
Oh, I wish I had the answers in a crystal ball. I used to be someone who I would look, you know, so far ahead all the time. And now I just, okay, one day at a time. But business-wise, I've just launched magnetic rompers, so sleepers. And I want to do more. I really, really want to do more. So I am leaning into my customers and asking them what they want to see. I want to stick with magnets and see what else we can do. I mean, toddlers, I have a 3-year-old. She's always trying to zip up and put her coat on and get dressed by herself. Even my 2-year-olds are trying to get dressed themselves. And the magnets make it easier. So
booties. Booties.
Oh, that's cute. I like that.
Maybe I shouldn't have said that on air. Nobody steal that. If you steal the booties, we're coming for you.
That is cute. I like that idea.
Hey.
Okay. I have a list of, like, anytime anybody bet. Says anything to me, I make a list. I just I want to grow. I want to get my name out and get Forge into everybody's hands. For the kids and my husband, I think this year I'm just hoping to get out of the house more.
Nice. You know,
it's hard to go places. Well, it's getting easier with 3 kids and 2 adults when you're outnumbered. And I know there's lots of families that have more than 3 kids, and it's hot, especially when they're all toddlers. But who knows, maybe a trip. Wow, that would be big.
Say it. Put it out there. You got it.
Yeah. Putting it out there.
Trip to Seattle. What?
I think just continuing to try and figure it out. I mean, I think it's okay to, you have to be okay with trying, like, constantly trying to figure it out and not having it all figured out, I guess. I love the name of your podcast. It's so perfect.
Thanks. I'm curious. Like, you're such an ambitious, driven person in all aspects of your life. If you're listening and you're speaking into the living room, the phone, the AirPods of somebody listening who's like, oh, I'm just grappling with the career side of me and the family side of me, and I want to do it all and I want to have both sides, what would you say, like, what could be a first step something even small. Like, what could somebody think about, or what could they do to just take a step forward in the direction where they feel like they're getting to live the life that they want, or like build the life that they want? You're talking to a friend.
I think when they're trying to figure out balance, you just got to give yourself grace as a parent. And when you're with your kids, try to be present. So even if you're not with your kids as much as you want to be, because you're working all the time, when you have that time, be present, because that's what they're going to remember, even if it's a short amount every day. And know that you can take a break from your career. Like, if you can afford to do it financially, and that's a big thing that I know a lot of people are not able to do that, but if you could afford to do it financially, take a step back for a couple of years, and then go back. And you know what? It's personal. That's my, because I haven't closed the door completely. And leave your doors open.
Yeah. Like, if you were to contact your previous workplace, for instance, and you know what? I'm ready. Like, you know, the twins are like coming up on 2 years this year or whatever. Oh, wait, how old are they now?
They're two now, yeah.
They are two. Oh my goodness. And you were like, okay, I'm feeling ready and I would want to go back. Do you think they'd take you back?
Yeah.
And I think that's also something, I'm getting so fired up here, but like, we forget that. We think that by making decisions, any decision in life, that closes all doors, or decisions are permanent. Sure, some decisions are of course permanent, but in so many situations, especially from a career perspective, if you've built up that reputation for, I'm sure, what, 10, 15 years within that industry, as long as you haven't burned your bridges, like, there, you've got options. You can go back. No, none of these decisions are permanent. And I think that's also something people don't talk about.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh my goodness. Okay, Mackenzie, I have to ask you, and it's kind of related to what I was asking you before, but what would you say is like the thing in 2024 that you are trying to figure out, or still figuring out?
I'm still trying to figure out balance. And I think that's okay. Especially starting a new business, because it does require a lot from me. So I am trying to figure out balance with my work and my kids and my husband and meal prep and grocery shopping. And honestly, I'm trying to figure out the same things that most other people are trying to figure out. And yeah, I think it's okay.
And our parents probably tried to figure out too. Like, I always think it's like a new, it's not a new thing. We've had to eat since the beginning of time. And planning the eating is a complicated thing. So
it is.
You're right. It's quite universal, isn't it?
And now we have grocery delivery, right?
Yes, we do.
Make some things easier.
Yes. You just have to then schedule the time to sit down to get to schedule the groceries, but systematizing it. There's the key. But okay, the balance. I love it. And I think that's nice for everybody to hear that they're not alone in that feeling of just, you know, where's the balance? What is the balance? What does it look like? And knowing that the balance looks different every week.
And I think it's okay. So important that we surround ourselves with not just like-minded people, but people who you can learn from and maybe get some tips on balance. I mean, I did a great workshop of yours a week or two ago, and we did yoga. It was awesome. But we also did managing your energy. And I was like, that is so like something that I really needed to put a lot of thought into. And I got some great tips. And you can get tips that maybe you want to use or maybe you don't want to use from all sorts of people that you surround yourself with. So go to those parent meetups, listen to the podcast, reach out to someone who, you know, you may want to get some advice from or chat with. And
so true.
And figure it out together.
Yeah. I love that. I know people that you're like, oh, they seem like I like their vibe. You know, I like the way that they walk into a room and they feel, and they just, you know, you just, for some reason, there's people that you just feel drawn to. And it's true. You know, go ask that person, what are you doing to make it all work?
And they might not know either.
Yeah, they're like, I don't know. I haven't washed my hair in a week. Raising my hand. My acidic back bottom. Mackenzie, where can everybody find you, connect with you? And I know you have a very generous special offer for the listeners here.
I do, yeah. So I'm offering any listener here 10% off your order. And so if you go to my Instagram, Forge Magnetic, or my website, www.forgemagnetic.com, and you put in the code all figured out 10, and I'm sure and Andrea will share that, you'll get 10% off your order.
So generous. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. So again, Forge Magnetic on Instagram, forgemagnetic.com. There's a link there. And send me a DM too. Let me know if you listen to this.
Thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. I appreciate your time and you and just sharing your wisdom and story. It's so inspiring.
Oh, thank you so much, Andrea. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for listening. You can access all resources mentioned in this episode via my website, andreabarr.com/podcast. And let's chat on Instagram. I'm at Andrea Barr Coaching and I reply to every DM I get. If you loved this episode, don't forget to quickly hit that button on your podcast app to give me a 5-star rating and drop in a review. It would truly mean the world. And if you're like me and love to share things that you love, send this episode to a friend who you think would appreciate this topic. Thanks again for listening, and I'll chat with you next week.